all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth.
And not only to hear your word, but apply that word and live by that word. For Lord, you have said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are working in us both to will do for your good pleasure. And I pray that we would have a blessed and sweet fellowship together in your presence now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Well, standing fast in the power of his might. And that is what we have been looking at now for the past few weeks. I am spending time with this. I'm not rushing this because I believe this to be a very important teaching that we are having. It is about spiritual warfare. It is, I believe, very instrumental with the overcomers who are making themselves ready by the power of the Spirit, as we are yielding over to the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to work and build his church in and through each of us, because he is the master builder at the end of the day. And that is why he has brought us under his banner, under his headship, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And there, as we yield to the Spirit, as we remain, he will do that work in and through us. Because we know that this final battle that is soon to come with the church against the powers of darkness can only be achieved by saints whose eyes and heart are totally looking to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are distracted and are looking to other things, or our heart is still elsewhere, we are a target to the enemy, and the enemy knows it. And this is why we are being brought together now of like mind and of spirit, where the Lord can work through a united body, a body that is in agreement, in unity and oneness. That is in faith, commitment and consecration. Yes, we're still a work in progress. God is still working with our lives, our hearts, those attitudes. But where our commitment is, our hands to the plough, we are all one in agreement, moving forward. And that is what God ultimately wants. Sometimes we fall short. Sometimes we sadly sin. But we have learned over the years, and we have been shown, that God in his mercy and infinite grace is there ready to cover, to deal with those shortcomings in our life. And it's called the blood of Jesus. And it is our responsibility to keep close with him. And that if we do miss the standard, the mark, the goal, then we know what to do, because Christ paid for that at Calvary. And this means that we're able to stand in unity and oneness, which is ultimately what is needed in these last days for this final battle to be won. It is a people who will continue to stand whatever the attack, whatever the target, whatever the enemy tries to throw at us. The emphasis, particularly in Ephesians 6, with regard to the whole armour, you see it coming up quite a few times. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth and putting on the breastplate of righteousness. There's this emphasis of standing and not retracting, not running away. You are no good for warfare if you run away. Now, most of us can agree that in ourselves, we can't do this. We're not people who are particularly bothered or fancy the idea of warfare. That's about the last thing on my agenda. I don't want to get in warfare. I don't want to get in conflict. I want some peace in my life. And the world out there, of course, is looking for all of that. Well, God has shown us that there will not be peace in this life until we are eternally with him in glory. What we do have, however, is the Prince of Peace in our lives. And he is the one who anchors us, who keeps us standing in our position of victory. And he ministers that peace by his presence, by relationship, by the new birth, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. If you don't have that in your life, then you will never be able to move into this. He says that peace that he gives to us, not that the world can give. It is a peace that comes as you stand in his presence in relationship with him. It's a peace that comes as we obey him and do those things that he shows us, which the world cannot even give, even though we might be looking for peace. And sometimes you can find peace just for a season in this world, but that's all it will be. It won't last. Whereas the peace that God gives to us is an eternal peace that will be forever. And we even share of it now, even in this life. So I emphasize this because this isn't going to work if we do not learn these basic principles, because the emphasis on the whole armor of God is about standing. And he will enable us to be able to stand. He wouldn't say it there otherwise, the times that he does, if it's not achievable. And it is only achievable in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not in your strength. Sadly, much of Christendom, when they hear teaching on the whole armour of God, or they read it, it's still in their own strength, in their own intellect, their own understanding. And that is why the church doesn't overcome. But we are being taught differently. We are being taught that it is the emptying of the self-life. It is the denial of self. It is that cross that we daily take up so that the self-life, the carnal intellect, the carnal understanding of the Word of God is put to one side so that the Spirit of the living God, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, can start to take over amongst the saints in the house of God. The house of God has got to start experiencing the resurrection power that was achieved at Calvary in the church. And this will only ever be achieved when saints are willing to die to self, to become those empty vessels. We call it the kenosis experience. Jesus had to learn this as well in his flesh. He was being taught in his flesh, not my will, but thy will be done. The Father's will being done. That is all he lived for. That was his goal, that was his motive, that was his driving force, that was his vision, was to do the will of the Father. He knew that he was one with that Father, and nothing could separate that oneness, that unity. And it is the same principle that works with you and I. We are going to deal with anything that will try to break that unity and oneness that we have with the Godhead through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever is there threatening or trying to hinder or break that unity and oneness, I will stand against it in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And many, many times that is achieved by simply standing, remaining resolute, immovable. Because when you do that, then what can separate you from God? Satan knows he's defeated with a saint who will stand fast in the Lord, because that is where he attacks us. And why does he attack us in that area? Because he knows that that area, God will bless us. God will move heaven and earth if need be to keep you standing fast, firm in him, in the position that he's given you, the consecration that he's given you. So God has provided for this through Jesus Christ. Satan gives himself away very often on the way he attacks. And he attacks particularly an overcomer, a saint, a disciple who is going on into the deeper life with God. That is where he will try and attack you. He will try to get you to retract, to go back. And we see this emphasized with regard to the whole armor of God. Gideon's army that was reduced from 30-odd thousand down to 300 was on the testing of those that would stand firm, that would not retract or go back. And they stood firm, those 300, by the way that they partook of the water. We know this, we've talked about this many times. The water, of course, spiritually being the Word of God. Now, as I've been sharing with this, standing fast in the power of his might, I believe the Lord will not teach us who our enemy is unless we put on the whole armor of God. And you can only put on the whole armor of God if you are prepared to stand and not retract. And because some don't stand as they should, they don't really understand spiritual warfare. There is still an ignorance to it. And you will never understand it unless you have the armor on, because the armor is the revelation of warfare. The armor teaches us what our enemy is and what we're up against. You cannot even begin to stand together with your brother and sister unless you've got that armor on. God in his mercy and grace won't even put you into it 9 times out of 10 because he knows you will be knocked over. And once you are knocked over, you are a victim to be slayed. The armor is so designed in its makeup spiritually to stand, not to lay down, but to stand. That is the nature of the armor. And God is teaching us this. And we're also learning that our warfare is supernatural. It is not intellectually understood. And you never will understand it intellectually. It is revelation. It is discernment. It is God revealing the source of enemy, what we're up against, and so on. Well, these are some of the things that we have really been emphasizing over the weeks. I'm sorry that I may sound as I am repeating myself, but I cannot emphasize this enough with regard to what we're talking about here. Now, today we're looking at verses 12 and we're going to lead into verse 13. And in these two verses, which I'm just going to read again, we've been looking at these powers, principalities, rulers, darknesses, and so on. And we've been emphasizing what they are. Now, sadly, a lot don't really understand some of these terms, these words, principalities, powers, rulers, darknesses, wickedness in spiritual places, spiritual hosts, and so on. These are words and they have meaning, and they are telling us something, what we're up against. But we cannot really know unless the Holy Spirit reveals. And I have been spending time sharing with you what some of these are that we're up against. So as it reads here, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Again, this emphasis in standing. So, we're seeing, aren't we, because of sin and a fallen world in which we live in, we are in many ways forced into warfare. Because of the very nature of this world, man has fallen, we have to enter into warfare whether we like it or not. And God isn't really that interested about whether we like this or not. What he is interested in wants from us is that we will obey him and do what he asks and what he shows. And in actual fact, when you begin to see that it works and that you can have authority, power over the powers of darkness, it's a tremendous encouragement with our faith. But whatever our attitude, whatever we're thinking, God isn't really that interested. What he's interested in is that we obey him. We do what he asks. And that is what you do if you love someone, because he's never wrong. And he has made this possible, as we know, at Calvary. And through his name and through the blood of the Lamb. And that is how the overcomers overcome. See, these battles can be won or lost. But ultimately, it's what God has decreed will come to pass. But these battles can be lost. And we find if we stand and we stay with it, then God invariably gives us another chance so that we overcome, whether it's individually or corporately. But they can be lost and they can be won. We know this with the children of Israel. There were times they won the battles when they were obedient to God, and when they were disobedient, when out of the will of God, they lost the battles. And that was always a clear sign that God was not with them. Now, one of the signs in this last day with the overcomers as the bride is making herself ready is that God is with his people. And the world and the enemy will know that God is with his people because he's fighting for his people. He's winning the victory for his people, the saints in the church. And they're not losing them. But God's decreed that this will come to pass, whether we choose to believe it or not, whether I desire to be a part of it or not, it makes no difference to the sovereign will of God. It will come to pass. The church will triumph, will rise up in the name of Jesus, and finally bring down the forces. Because the church has got to have her place, her position again in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And we are not far from this. So looking then at verse 12, as we're coming to the end of this, we see these spiritual hosts. We see these spiritual hosts. Now, this speaks of the nature of fallen man, the world. Man has fallen from the standard that God intended him to have in relationship with him. And it also means he belongs to God and he's made in the image of God. Even though he's fallen, he is still made in the image of God. With regard to man who is fallen, he has to decide whom his father is going to be. Whether he's brought back through Jesus Christ to his heavenly father, or he submits to the father of this age, the god of this age, Satan. You decide which father you want. But in image, he's made in the likeness of God. It also can mean the Holy Spirit, the Divine Spirit, man's soul, his whole being made in the image of God. Now, we have some references that give us a clue to this. Romans 7 and verse 14, we're dealing with spiritual hosts. Romans 7 and verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And so it goes on. So here we get this understanding of man. He's made in the image of God. Here in the state of he's fallen, he can be under the law. We know that the law is spiritual, but he says and carnal. He's talking of the difference here between the flesh and spirit. He's giving the analogy here of how the believers to walk not in the flesh, the carnal, but the spiritual. We're dealing here with this idea of spiritual hosts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches us, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So again, we get this idea of the spiritual is that God speaks by revelation. The Word of God is revelation to us. And finally, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here, spiritual host speaks of the nature of man. What nature does he have? Well, in the world, his nature is fallen. And we know that you have to have a new nature, the rebirth, reborn. So we are in warfare with spiritual hosts. You are in warfare with carnal man. And we know this. Jesus placed the sword, didn't he? Right in the family. And that sword comes down and divides the carnal to the spiritual. And that is your warfare. Many times a saint's warfare can be right in the household. With your husband or your wife, your son, your daughter, or whatever. That is where your battle can be. Here it is, these spiritual hosts. And many times you have to get in warfare, or you have to bind what is working. Maybe in your husband or your wife, your son, your daughter, whatever it is. You realize what you're up against, you're not up against them. It's the spirits, demons that are working through them. Yes, your loved ones. It can sound very controversial, this, but this is the warfare we are in. And what are we going to put first? Are we going to compromise with the family, or are we going to put the Lord Jesus Christ first, even if it means it costs my marriage? This is what sorts out the men from the boys. And fear will always cause one to run back. And the emphasis we've been saying is to simply stand. However it looks, whatever is going on, whatever they're saying or accusing you of, you stand fast and watch the Lord, for he fights the battle. No battle can be won if you retract and run away. The battle's already lost. So there we are, these spiritual hosts. And then we get wickedness. What are these wickedness? What does it mean by this? Well, it means depravity. It means iniquity. It's the evil that is in the world. Evil desires, lust, greed, lies, idolatry. Well, that's all around us, isn't it? You don't have to look far to see these wickedness, this depravity that is working. Let's turn to Luke 11. Luke 11 and verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, you make the outside of the cup and the dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." That is what he was referring to. He was referring to wickedness. And sadly, he was exposing the religious people who confess that they are followers of Almighty God. That's what's so alarming about this. So we have wickedness that can be amongst people in the house of God. And again, one has to get in warfare to deal with this wickedness. You see, we were like this. Evil desires, manipulation, control, all of these things that go on in man and sometimes can be found amongst professing believers. And when you see those things, they are what they are. That is wickedness, which God calls it. And that is what we war against. That is why we pray one for another. This is why prayer, intercession in the house of God is so important, because it deals with this wickedness that can start to raise its ugly head. This is why Jesus said, "By the love you will know them, by the fruit you will know them." This is why we are to bear fruit. And yet sometimes you can still find these wicked acts can be even in the house of God. And that's why we pray that God will change the heart of that person. Change their hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Powerful prayers, intercessions, warfare is needed in the house of God. A house that's united in unity and oneness, where you see that love, that is a sign that saints are praying and warring against wickedness. And sometimes God even has to remove that wickedness that is a hindrance to fellowship, which comes as a result of prayer. Now, one of the things before I move into verse 13, when we find ourselves in spiritual warfare, as the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding us, whether we are in warfare ourselves or together as a church, you remain with that standing position until you know that the enemy is defeated. We know that Satan is cunning. He's deceitful. He is a liar, a murderer, a thief. All of those things we know. And because he's cunning, he's deceitful, there are times when he will let you think that you have defeated him. You may have even wounded him. But the head has not been removed from the giant. When David slew Goliath, he had stunned him with the stone. He had to finish him off by removing the head. And we have to learn this before God. Don't retract too quickly. Stand, wait before the Lord. Maybe inquire of God, is Satan, these demons, have they been defeated in this, or are they simply laying dormant to deceive? Sometimes you have to inquire of God in this, or simply remain watchful and alert. Because sometimes these battles are lost because you thought you had defeated him, when in fact you simply wounded him. Now, I mentioned this because, do you remember a few weeks ago, we were in warfare praying for this sister in Pakistan that had been imprisoned for many years for blasphemy, and she was to be hung. Well, she's been reprieved. They've given clemency. Her name is Asia Bibi. And praise God, the Lord has answered prayers. We got into warfare. We warred against Islam. We warred against lies, deceptions. We were specific with demonic powers. However, have we stopped our prayers, our warfare? Because if you have stopped, the enemy is not yet defeated in this whole situation. The government have said they've compromised, that she can't leave the country. That's the pact, the deal they made with these fanatic Muslims. Which means, in the natural, she can't leave her country. Therefore, she is not safe. We've heard the lawyer that defended her is not safe either. So we find that we haven't finished yet with our warfare. Now, how many of us, if we've heard this news, and it was on the news the last 2 or 3 days, how many of us were aware, Lord, we have still got warfare to do. We're not finished yet. This is what I mean by being alert. The enemy is still fighting, and her life and her family are not safe there. In the natural, they have to get away. And we've heard that she's asked for political asylum in this country and the US and Canada. Now, I bring this up in light that we got into warfare over this sister, but we haven't finished. The head is not yet removed from the giant, and it has to be. This is why we must not be too quick with our warfare. We've got to remain, stand in the presence of God, because he will continue to show whether more warfare is needed for the enemy to be finally defeated. This is a lesson for all of us to learn. Praise God. Well, here we are, these wickednesses in, this depravity, this iniquity that we see in the world today. We're against all these evil desires, the manipulation, the control of man. And that's why we pray that God will change these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. Let's start to war against these demons that blind the world, blind their eyes from seeing. We can take authority over that, so that their eyes will be open, that they will see the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a harvest to be brought in the last days. And I believe spiritual warfare is very much part of that, because we know the demonic forces, how they work. Well, let us move on to verse 13. We're back in Ephesians 6 and verse 13, which says, "Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." Firstly, I raise the question, whose armour? Yes, you're to put on the armour. You are to have your armour. But ultimately, whose armour is it? "Therefore, take up the whole armour of you?" No, of God. So this armour is God's armour. And I alluded to that at the beginning of these teachings some weeks back. You see, there is still this idea, I have to put on my armour. It's my armour I put on. It isn't your armour, it is God's armour that he provides and gives to us to put on. So therefore, if it is God's armour, it's what he has made, should that not encourage us? Should that not quicken our faith that this armour is God's armour? It is Christ in me, the hope of glory. He is the armour. He's the revelation of this armour. How can we lose? How can we be defeated? Because this is the armour of God. It's a small saying there, but it's one that can be so missed and misinterpreted. And it suggests that we take it up. It means that we carry it. We place it on. It's the same as that we take up that cross daily and follow him. It's a spiritual taking it up. I put it on for this day as I meet this day. And so it's the same idea with this armour. That is our free will. That is where God doesn't force us to wear it. But if we love him, we will. And so we carry it, we place it, we put it on. It becomes our confession, our belief. And this is very important. Mark 16, verse 19. Mark 16. And verse 19, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was," the idea to carry, to put on, is in light of Jesus being received into heaven, and where it says that he sat down at the right hand of God. So this idea of him being taken up, he now has been received, he now sits down at the right hand of God. It means to carry on the work that has been started by the armour. So because he now has empowered us, he now is seated at the right hand of the Father, all authority, power, dominion is given unto him, so we likewise continue that work that he started by our two carrying it, putting it on. It's a continuation of the work and ministry that Christ left on the earth, that we too are to emulate, to walk in, so that it will be accomplished and finished. That is the idea of what it means here, but therefore to take up the whole armour of God, continue with what Christ has started, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And the evil days are certainly upon us, that you are able to withstand. In other words, to fight effectively, that you stand, you don't retract, you're not defeated in the evil day, because the evil days are with us. And it's getting worse and worse. We know this. We know it around us, we hear it in the news and so on. So, and having done all, stand. Now, this idea of evil days speaks of hardship, it speaks of labours, toil, and that is what it is at times. As these evil days are getting worse and worse, it means that we've got to get our act right. It means that we cannot rest on our laurels. Oh, this isn't for me. I'm not into warfare and everything. You know, I'm afraid none of us can adopt that attitude. It is a warfare. It is a hardship at times. It is a labour. Sometimes it does take time. Sometimes you wonder if you can ever defeat the enemy. It seems he has so much power and so much control. But you will only know his defeat as you stand firm and don't retract. So he says, having done all, stand. What do we see in that? Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As we bring this now to a conclusion, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And we don't look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we get the idea, as we stand fast in our warfare, we don't always necessarily see it with our eyes, manifestation, because a lot of this is being accomplished in the spirit, where Satan, his demonic forces reside. So much of our warfare is spiritual. And that is why we pray, we war in the spirit and with those tongues that God has given to us. You may not see, you may not feel anything, but much is being accomplished. And what is being accomplished is dividing Satan's kingdom. Every warfare, whether individual or corporal, is dividing Satan's kingdom. That is what it's doing. You may say, well, it doesn't seem to be to me. If anything, wickedness is getting worse and worse. It's getting worse simply because it's being divided. The reason things are getting worse in the world, things in your family, it seems, is getting worse, is because Satan's kingdom is being divided. And what does a wounded animal do? It strikes back when it's wounded to try and defend itself. So he's giving himself away because the prayers of the saints are prevailing in the heavens. So don't be downcast. We have that victory in Christ. And every time we rise up in spiritual warfare, we're dividing the powers of darkness. God doesn't let us see half the time. And you'll thank the Lord that you don't see it always. You wouldn't be able to stand it. What goes on in the heavenlies? And your warfare is releasing God's angels to war. That is primarily what it's doing. So, as I've started at the beginning, and as I shall end, I've made much emphasis about to stand, which means to be firm, fixed, established. We'll finish off with two scriptures. Matthew 11 and verse 28. Come to me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So he's already taken the heavy load off all of this, for our warfare, our intercession, because he wrought that for us at Calvary. So there's no excuse why we cannot be used and enter into this. And finally, Luke chapter 9 and verse 27. Luke 9 and verse 27, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. And that is the promise for the last days. As we remain faithful to this, in warfare, standing firm, he says, some of you standing here will not taste of death. For I will come and I will take you to myself. And that is why we believe the next greatest event for the Christian church is the rapture. But I believe that this comes as we are obedient with regard to spiritual warfare. This is so vital now. We know we are pressing in. We know we're right with this, because the world, the wickedness, all of these things that are happening are a clear indication that Satan is losing power. His kingdom is being more and more divided, and he is like a wounded animal who's going to try and kick back once more to try and survive, but he won't. He's defeated. He has lost the battle. Hallelujah. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. Stand fast in the power of his might. What is that armour? It is his armour. And you, in obedience and love for the Lord, are willing to carry, to put on daily that armour, which he has given to us through his victory. Heavenly Father, again, we are so reminded of what you have achieved and done at Calvary. You have now made this possible. Forgive us, Lord, that we doubt you, that we still try and do it in our own strength. I pray, Lord, that my brothers and sisters will learn more and more of this whole armour, that you will teach them to war effectively, that you will teach them that their warfare is in the heavenlies. Open their eyes, Lord, that they may see. Quicken them that they will know that that victory is already won, even before we start the warfare. Teach them, Father, not to retract or to end the warfare until they know that the enemy is fully defeated. Give them that wisdom, that discernment, that understanding, that sensitivity of the Spirit. Open their eyes that they may see what they're warring against and with whom. Raise them more and more up into heavenly places, Father, with Christ Jesus. Cause them to turn away from the things of the world, its lies, its deceptions, its wickedness. Father, we thank you for these teachings. We thank you for this manna that you're giving to us that can only come from heaven above. Lord, may none of us let you down in this, that we will be faithful, resolute, standing, believing, whatever it looks like, whatever the situation, whether it feels as though I'm winning the battle or not, it's got nothing to do with it, because this armour is what you've graciously given to us. And you would not give us this armour if the battles could not be won. Lord, whatever this takes, cause this to drop from our heads to our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
From him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. For from him and through him and to him.